The bulk of the Old Testament of the Bible is made up of the writings of the prophets. Indeed, 18 of the 39 books in the Hebrew Bible are prophetic writings. Ken just read from, and the choir sang lyrics from, one of the most prolific prophets, Isaiah, who lived, as the scripture says, in the year that King Uzziah died, 740 BCE. Isaiah was a prophet in the southern kingdom of the Jews, known as Judah, the area that is home to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. My Old Testament professor in seminary described prophets as people with one foot in the daily world of life that people like you and me know, and one foot in the world of the kingdom of God. They straddle these two worlds, offering guidance and correction, interpreting the law, and attempting to lead the Israelite people back to God. The prophets critique the corruption and greed of the government and remind the people over and over again that their allegiance must be to God and God alone. The prophets defend the rights of aliens, foreigners, widows, and children, those most likely left behind when leaders become blinded by their own power and ambition. More often than not in the Old Testament, the leaders of the people, the kings of the northern and the southern empires of the Jews, they forget that they were meant to serve and protect. They use innocent people as pawns in power grabs, and they tax them beyond their ability to pay. It was obvious that the leaders weren't using those tax dollars to help the widows and the children, as the laws in Deuteronomy commanded them to do, but rather they used them to pad their own pockets, pockets that were already bursting with the profits of malfeasance and exploitation. God intervened into these messes, created by unfaithful people and corrupt leaders, by using prophets to speak difficult truths to people who were often reluctant to listen. The prophetic tradition of the ancient Jews is long and rich. Much of their wisdom still applies to us today. And the topic of the prophetic tradition fits into this month in which we're thinking about the meaning of transfiguration. Transfiguration, making something more beautiful or spiritual. Because the prophets were people who were called to be agents of transfiguration in their communities. The Bible offers stories of various prophets. These narratives are spread out across the thousands of years in myriad spaces of Scripture. Prophets each had kind of their own style. Hosea was harsh, calling Israel a whore. Isaiah was poetic, talking about the day when swords would be beaten into plowshares and there would be war no more. They were savvy. They used different tactics and rhetorical strategies to communicate their message to the people in a way that their people would be most likely to hear them. But regardless their approaches to their work, what all of the prophets had in common was their willingness to listen to God. To listen to God first and foremost. Moses, the first prophet of record, listened to God in the burning bush. Jeremiah listened to God, even though he said, "I am just a boy." And Isaiah, when God asked Isaiah, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Isaiah listened, and he responded with one of the most assertive and faithful statements in all of Scripture, "Here am I, send me." Say it with me, "Here am I, send me." But I began wondering this week, are there people who were would-be prophets, except they weren't listening? What if Isaiah hadn't been listening to God? What if Moses had tried to ignore that burning bush? What if Isaiah hadn't answered, "Here I am, send me"? If he hadn't listened, chances are he would have ended up like the man Obed-Nebed-Bediah. This is the story of Obed-Nebed-Bediah. In the year before King Uzziah died, I thought I saw something a little out of the ordinary up in the sky, up above the top of the oak trees, but I was in a hurry, big hurry, didn't have time to really stop and look at it. There were places I needed to go and people who needed to see me. As I was hurrying along, I heard something, sounded kind of like music, but I couldn't really hear it because of the cacophony of my own thoughts rushing around in my head, and it drowned out the melodies and the harmonies. I am very important. There's a lot going on in my life. I am a very busy person. Suddenly, out of nowhere, there was a flock of what appeared to be birds, but it was so weird because it looked like they had six wings or something. But I've been so stressed out lately that I was probably seeing triple. Then one of those birds came sweeping down from a tree, and it nearly ran right into my face. It was all kind of a blur, but I think it was carrying a hot coal. That thing had it out for me. I did everything I could to avoid it. "Woe to me," I cried. "Get away from me, you crazy thing. Leave me alone. I am a very busy person. I have done nothing wrong. I have no time for you." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Not me. Maybe ask Jeremiah. He lives in the village south of here." Now, we only know the names of the prophets and the people who listened to God and heeded God's call on their lives. Isaiah, Moses, Ezekiel, Daniel, Malachi, Jeremiah, the list of the prophets goes on and on. These are the people who listened and responded to God. "Here I am, send me." Say it with me. "Here I am, send me." But I can't help but imagine that there were and still are folks who don't listen. Folks like our fictional Obed-Nebed-Bediah. I won't invite you to say that with me. I practiced all the way here and I still screwed it up. We won't know their names. We won't know the names of the folks who sensed the presence of something different, but just couldn't be bothered to pause in the midst of the busyness to really look or really listen. I am sometimes one of those people. I get wrapped up in the expectations and affirmation of other people. I get awfully comfortable with the status quo. I become self-absorbed. I stop listening to God. My priorities get all mixed up. And the next thing I know, I've gone a couple of days without praying to listen. I am a whiz at praying through our prayer list and answering prayer requests on Facebook. I do that multiple times a day. But it's that different kind of prayer. You know that prayer I'm kind of talking about? The listening prayer. A prayer in which we cease and desist with our petitions and requests and instead create a space, create conditions in which we can really listen to God. Not the news, not our neighbors, not the nasty little voices in our heads that tell us we're not enough, but listen to God. That kind of listening prayer, that contemplative prayer, the prayer that transfigures, the prayer that makes more beautiful and spiritual my life and yours. That is the deep listening prayer of the prophets. The listening that yearns to fill itself with the voice of the living God. It is a listening that comes from setting aside time for silence. It is a listening that comes from leaving open time in our schedules to do nothing. It is a listening that comes from knowing that God, the God of the prophets, is still speaking into the messes of the world and asking us, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Let us be in a time of deep listening. Deeply listening for the still speaking voice of the living, moving God. Let us pray.